Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and the Medicine on Call show. I guess I'm a little flustered for them. I can't imagine that. But we've got Dr. George coming in. She got caught up in a little bit of traffic on her way out to the station this morning. And we've got a friend of the station, America's Web Radio's friend, Judson England. So, Judd, we'll just get started without Dr. George, and we'll talk. Let's see, the conversations today are about grandchildren and golf. I don't have any grandchildren, and I don't play golf, so I guess that's the end of the story, right? Anyway, we're glad to have you on Medicine on Call today, Judd. How have things been going with you?
Great, David. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back. I've been busy. I'm just fighting the good cause every day and trying to find affordable healthcare solutions for people that are looking for those solutions. We need those because, as you know, the premiums continue to rise, and we have the information coming forth in our press that they're going to increase in many states by double digits beginning in 2017. Not good news, but thankfully there are still very affordable solutions, but it's in nobody's agenda to let them know what it is, but I've taken it upon myself to do that.
Judd, would you say that this is a fair statement? I think, or as I see it, and as you well know, we have a number of different medical shows on the station that discuss Affordable Care Act, which is a joke, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. But would you say that across the country, the general public is just now really getting a slap upside the head of the reality of how bad it is? They're getting their bills. For the last couple of years, they didn't have to go to the hospital or they didn't have to do anything. And all of a sudden now, they're experiencing the terrible shock of what Obamacare can do with them. And by the way, our hostess just walked in the door, Elena. But if you can, answer that question right quick while Dr. George gets her breath.
Yes, David, your point is absolutely correct. People are beginning to wake up, and they're finding that it's the worst nightmare because they're seeing prices that are absolutely unaffordable. And unfortunately, it's going to continue to get worse. And I know Dr. George has pointed this out, as myself, back in 2012, 2013 time range, that Obamacare was never designed to work. It's designed to sell. It's a Trojan horse to socialize medicine. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that just say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory or don't know what you're talking about when you say such things, but all you have to do is just read the press, do a little bit of homework, and you quickly find that that's absolutely the case. And in fact, just this Monday, Obama released a very long article in the Journal of American Medical Association now calling for the public option. Oh, that sounds so wonderful. What is the public option? That's socialized medicine. So 6 months to go, or 5 months to go in his presidency, and people are feeling the pain. The prices are completely unaffordable. And now Obama's going to come out and say, let's do the public option, which means the government will offer, alongside with the private plans, government plans that will be essentially free to people that use those. Of course, that'll teeter and crash the entire system altogether, and voila, there you have a complete socialized medicine. So that's what's happening right now.
Judd, I want to make a statement about what you just said. The public option, it's basically Medicare or maybe even Medicaid for all. Should people see it that way?
But that's so unfortunate if they see it that way, because that that's also really bad because people that have Medicaid, they might be aware, I'm sure they are, that that's not a very good plan at all because a lot of doctors hate Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they hate them? Because the reimbursement rate is so low that doctors can't keep their doors open. So that's not the way we want to go.
I absolutely.
So you'll have health care. You know, the Democrats love to say you now have health care, but do you really? How do you have health care when you can't access your doctor? That doesn't make sense to me.
But they don't even care about that. You know, what they care about is metrics and what they can claim when they get on various talking head shows to say that or to equate having some sort of quote-unquote coverage and having access to health care, quality health care. I mean, this is a real grid that's coming online, in my opinion. I mean, the way this is unfolding, it's a perfect storm. We've gone from 55% of the doctors being independent, freestanding, solo or small group practitioners, to becoming employees by hospitals and joining these accountable care organizations as satellite branches of hospitals. And your freedom of choice to treat your patient, to set your charge master, to have access or give your patient access to affordable lab testing, radiology services, etc., is gone. And I can foresee this worst case scenario for me, Judd, is they pull out this public option. They know exactly what you just said. Is there not enough doctors to man it or woman it, whatever you want to call it? And then they're going to start the mandate. In order for you to have a license, you have to take the public option. You know, you have to toe the line, get on board, or you won't be practicing medicine. Don't you think that's where they're really going? It's totally authoritarian and totalitarianism.
Oh, Dr. George, you're 100% correct on that. I'm looking at it right now that it's a total war on doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating. You're absolutely right. I mean, private independent practice are shutting down across the nation, have been for a couple years now. And such a small percentage are still out there doing this. They've been swallowed by the corporate hospital system. And you're absolutely right. They're going to have to start issuing all kinds of new mandates. One that doctors really hate and patients hate too. They don't realize this, but you go see a doctor at a hospital now, and what do you see? They're sitting at some cube and sitting there as they're talking to you, typing in a computer,
mm-hmm.
typing on a computer screen, looking at that screen the whole time, not paying attention to you, the patient. And the reason they're doing that is because it's a mandate. Electronic health records. Everything has to be input electronically. And they have, what is it, over, I think, 77,000 ICD codes. They have to make sure they're correct. And if they're not correct, who does that hurt? That hurts the patient.
That's right.
Because then you're going to be in limbo, potentially for months, while the insurance company tries to figure out exactly what you were being treated for.
Absolutely right.
And at the same time, you know, you feel like you're a robot because you're not. The doctor's not looking at you. They're looking at a screen.
They're looking at a screen and they're writing a prescription, more than not, for whatever ailment you have. I mean, there's no individualized choice. There is just a cookie-cutter conveyor belt mentality where you come up with a diagnosis by a lab and you're going to be treated for that with the usual prescriptions. And if you don't get better in this system, it's now the doctor's fault. Whether or not the patient followed the directions, whether or not they needed the medication, it's all about, quote, value-based medicine, which is a total oxymoron. There is no such thing as value-based medicine. It's do as you're told, and you better hope you get the outcome that you're supposed to get based on their parameters. Otherwise, you're not getting paid. You're becoming a disruptive physician. The hospital won't be paid. And ultimately, the patient is the one that's going to be left holding the bag without quality and affordable access to good medical care that serves them. It doesn't serve the patient anymore. You know, all the people who are about social justice and the social warriors and all the butthurt mentality out there, they're the ones who are going to be left holding the bag, and they're going to be complaining about, this is not what we signed up for. I mean, I know it's coming. I just hope that we're able to find an alternative to stop this train from running down the track. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show today, because we both know the problems. We're in it daily. We follow it. We can see this thing unfolding. But there's answers to this. I mean, you have Med Retreat. You have patient partners. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it properly. But the other website that helps people access healthcare and have advocates for them. You do this already. You are actually ahead of the curve. How do you see what you offer? How do you expand that so people know that they have an alternative?
Yes, thanks for asking, Dr. George. It's Patient Advocate Partners of America.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of that organization is to help Americans find affordable health care. And I have, you know, a back end for every type of access point that somebody would need in the current healthcare system, and how to do it the right way, and how to get access that's very affordable, and in most cases, even with higher quality and better outcomes. And part of my objective, overall objective, is I agree with you. I've dug deep because I started Med Retreat back in 2003, and through that company, I facilitated, educated, and promoted medical tourism in foreign countries. So those patients that were uninsured and underinsured, I helped them find affordable, high-quality surgery outside the U.S. And so I was doing that. I was in the trenches and doing that every day. And then, as I mentioned before, I lost my insurance because I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and nobody would take me. But when Obama was elected and came along and started talking about the Affordable Care Act or health care reform, I studied that, in every possible way that I could because it affected my business.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I read about it, I saw that this is a complete nightmare and it's totally un-American in every way. And what you were talking about was so right that it's not just in health care, but in everything we're doing right now, they're really creating a society of robots that they can control. That's the real robot that we need to concern about is us, not the future robots that, Silicon Valley are building to take our jobs, but about us being robots and without any critical thinking whatsoever, just playing in our social media world, mm-hmm. and not really focusing on the true issue. And that is us becoming just complete data for the government to manipulate and control.
I think you just said the magic word.
So
data.
Anyway, I know that's a long answer to your question, but
no.
That's the purpose of Patient Advocate Partners is help explain the issues and help them get the best affordable health care.
I think data is the key here. That is what we become, metadata, population-based medicine, and basically lab rats for how do you manipulate somebody's mentality so that they go along and get along and they work against their own interests. That's really what's going on every level in our society right now. Divide and conquer, using language as a weapon. I used to think, words can't hurt you. Sticks and stones, remember the nursery rhyme? Well, the words are hurting us at this point. They are making us feel individually powerless, perpetual victims. Nobody wants to take responsibility. And I mean nobody, but I mean the general mood is nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions. Somebody did it to them, and someone's owed something. That is the perfect recipe for someone to come in and say, if you can't run it yourself, then we're going to run it for you. And that's what you're just describing in a nutshell. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think we're having a very important conversation with Mr. Judd Anglin about the future of our choices in healthcare. And Judd is somebody who's not just talked about it, but actually has done something about it and offers real information that's useful to patients and doctors for that matter. He has developed Patient Advocate Partners of America, Med Retreat, which is one of the premier clearinghouses, or if you want to say a center for people to go and decide what's the best choice for them for care delivery, whether that's in the country or outside the country. It's all about choice, isn't it, Judd? If someone takes your choice away from you, then there's a problem, because nobody should care and nobody does care more about you than you do, in my opinion.
Oh, Dr. George, I totally agree, and I'm just such a proponent of that. I mean, that's what this country was founded on, is the individual, and the individual and our ability to flourish and become the best that we can become. So for our healthcare, you know, we always hear this this banter of healthcare is a right.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare should be a human right. And I see that it's a very emotional issue, and that's really difficult to, you know, to speak against that. But isn't choice a right too?
Yeah.
Shouldn't individuals have a choice about how they care for themselves? I never hear that part of the debate, and I think that that's so important because, okay, let's say healthcare is a right, and we're going to have big government, you know, big authoritarian government tell us how to handle our bodies, what we need to do, what hospitals and what doctors we can see, regardless of what we want. Well, that would make me seriously mad because I'm like, you know, this is my body, and mm-hmm. I'm doing the things that I, you know, am doing to best care for myself, but I want to have a choice of where I go and get care, and we should all have that.
I absolutely agree. And let me take it to a different level. I mean, we're talking about informed consent. That will be stripped away and is being stripped away in our healthcare system. When people get admitted to hospitals, they get vaccinated, they don't even know that that's happening. They get their medical directives abrogated so that if you have a living will and you have a catastrophic illness, you can't speak for yourself. They're pulling the plug and they're putting you on palliative care without discussing it with your family. This is the end point of medical right, right? You have a right to medical services. That means if there's a finite amount of services, someone's going to ration it because it's about the good of the many outweighing the needs of the few in their mind. And if you are a cost center under the Affordable Care Act, if you're costing the system money and you're not viable in their opinion, you're too old, you're not working anymore, you're not paying taxes, or you have a disease that's by textbooks going to kill you, they're not spending resources on you and you don't have any recourse. Is that a right that you think that you want to have, that you want to take from somebody else? You know, it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. One size fits all medicine is a recipe for disaster. And it's more costly. We're seeing that as, you know, roll out under the system. And what we're seeing too, I don't know if you read the article that came out recently about these community health advisors. They're people who will, government paid, go into your house, do questionnaires with you. So we're not even talking about the electronic medical record anymore. You've got people coming to your house and they're chit-chatting with you, gathering all sorts of information about your social life, your personal choices, so they can paint a good picture of what's, you know, a more full picture of how you should be taken care of, so they claim. But I'm sure they're figuring out, you know, how do people live in the home? Do you have guns in the home? How do you feel about the government? All sorts of little subtleties that are being used to quantify and digitize who you are. And that's coming out of the healthcare budget. So in order to hire these 40,000 people, I think it was 30, now it's up to 46,000, and they want more, where's that money coming from? Is it coming from the care of seniors? Is it coming from, you know, fair payment to physicians? Where's it coming from? It's coming from something that's healthcare delivery based, right? So they're making our overall, the quality of our healthcare drop in order to maximize their information gathering. It's not healthcare.
And that is absolutely frightening. And You're absolutely right. I'm sure you saw in the Boston Globe this past Thursday, Obama is requesting, he wants a million or more volunteers to basically hand over their genetic code to the government.
What?
And he's promising in doing that it, you know, they'll follow HIPAA guidelines and be secure. And that's laughable.
That is really laughable. That's great.
I mean, I don't understand how a citizen can look at that and not look at what the government has done over the past 4 to 8 years with regards to privacy and think, oh, that's such a great idea. Here you go, government. Here's my entire genetic code.
Wow. They really have just used our naivete against us. This willingness to just give up your personal information on all levels. You've heard, I know this is a little bit jump here, but this Pokemon Go app, you know, people walking into traffic,
yeah,
being robbed. What is wrong with people that they would want that their GPS coordinates, everybody knows where you are at all times, and you're playing this game where people have already hacked it and put people into harm's way in order to rob them, etc. The mindset, I mean, this is coming from really deep, from kids are being educated that it's all about the computer. They don't even think about anything else except winning or going to the next app or being cool or taking their Instagram. It's complete just removal from reality. That's a fodder for this kind of system. And they're getting rid of and trying to get rid of anybody who's been educated before this all came online. You know, people 50 and above, seniors, anybody who's going to question the system becomes a problem. And they're going to do anything they can to sideline, marginalize, demonize anybody who's going to question the system. I don't understand how people can't see this coming or what's unfolding. It's actually pretty, it's moving so quickly now. It's almost like they have a time frame to get this finished so that they can get to the next level, which is order out of chaos. It's chaos everywhere, in the streets, in the schools. The police department is being, you know, emotionally and mentally dismantled. I mean, it's just awful stuff going on, and everybody's so caught up with being politically correct and not saying the wrong thing or wanting to be part of a winning team, even if it's against their own interests. I actually heard somebody say on a talk show that they should remove the police from their community, that they should have community, you know, organized policing. Can you imagine what that would be? I'd imagine that'd be gangs running the show and total lawlessness where you're living in your house, you know, hoping to pay for protection. I mean, what's wrong with folks? Honestly.
Oh, it's really frustrating. And I'm sure you saw that on Saturday, Obama was calling for nationalization of our police force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Order out of chaos.
And that's really scary to me. But the frustrating thing is I think most people are not zooming out and looking at the bigger picture.
No.
There's no critical thinking. They're not looking at these. A perfect example of something along these lines is our education, public educational system, and Common Core. And, of course, they dress it up, you know, dressing a pig up, basically saying that, oh, we're going to increase our standards so our kids can compete, you know, with kids from China and Korea and Norway and all these great countries. And that sounds great. Everybody jumps on and says, yeah, Common Core is great. But what they don't realize is that it removes the individual teacher out of the room. Now they're being directed on every move they make, everything they say to the students, and it's all designed and oriented towards test taking. But guess what? Zoom out further from there. And who's going to have access to all your test scores? All these big technology companies, Google, Microsoft, they're going to know everything about your IQ score. So you're trying to find a job in a certain industry someday? Oh, you know what? This is not for you.
Right. Well, it's like a Brave New World. You know,
it totally is.
It absolutely is.
It's funny that you say that because I was just thinking about that the other day. It's exactly like it.
People should read that book.
And we're headed there so quickly, and Everybody just thinks, oh, this is wonderful, social justice and equality, and they're not realizing where we're headed.
But there is no such thing as equality because we're not all the same. So you can't be based on the same standard. Everybody's different. and you are individuals. Everybody has a skill, a gift, and they should be allowed to pursue that. But to put everybody on the same continuum and measure them off of some vague standard that you either are a winner or you're a loser on is just ridiculous. I mean, you just mentioned something that I want people to get a bigger picture here. This is the same cookie cutter plan that's been folded out through every aspect of our society. You just spoke about education and Too Big to Fail. I'm sorry, Common Core. You've got it with medicine now with the Affordable Care Act. They've centralized, quantified, you know, dumbed down medicine so that anybody is a provider now. You don't have to have any sort of skill set. They don't want that. They don't want specialists. They want someone who's just going to get your information, put you on a medic, like Soma in the book Brave New World. Just put you on something to pacify you so you just go away. And you have to take it every so often just to keep you going. But there's no actual art to the system. It's all about absolute control. This is going on. And it's all the same mindset. You give the system, the government gives the money, and whoever controls the money controls the power. And that's the whole thing. You can federalize the police, but the money's coming from the government. So they're going to tell the police what the standards are for policing. Just like they tell the teachers are what the standard is for teaching, and the doctors what real medicine should be. Does anybody see a pattern here? I certainly do.
That pattern is so clear to me. And I started noticing about a year ago, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And you're so right. And I hear teachers who, you know, that I know personally, that say they hate Common Core because it's totally changed their job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring experience and individualism to the classroom anymore. And with the doctors, it's becoming the same.
Yeah.
Doctors are hating what's happening.
I agree. I mean, it's 400 doctors committing suicide each year because the joy has been stripped away from the practice of medicine. It's not a practice anymore. You're an agent for the government. That's what they want you to be, a gatekeeper for the patient. While their wealth is being stripped from them, mandated to be stripped from them. I mean, this is just a sick system. And we talked about the problems. When you come back, let's talk about the solutions, because we know what the problems are, you and I. Let's see if we can educate the audience so that they can get out of underneath this yoke of despair. I mean, I think people really are just depressed about this and feel they have nowhere to go, but that's not true. You and I are proof that this is not where you have to end up. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, Chet and I were talking about the problems, and I think people, I hope, are getting a feel for the depth of the manipulation, the mind games that are being played with us, while they tell us it's total duplicity. They tell us one thing and it's the actual opposite. Everything is the opposite of what they said. Affordable Care Act is not affordable. You know, education and quality education is not there. It's indoctrination. And having us all come together while everybody is sniping and piling on and pushing the Pavlov buttons that are pulling us apart. We need to, as Americans, take a stand and stop playing this game. We can't win this game. I realized this about 4 years ago. I could do everything I wanted within the system and be the best doctor I could be, and it was impossible. It was like working uphill. That's the whole thing with this healthcare system, Judd. People are going to be in for a rude awakening this fall when they find their premiums jumping up to 65% here in Georgia. They're not going to be able, they're going to be priced out while they're forced into his community health or public options. They're doing this the same way they're doing the TSA thing. Remember all the lines a few weeks ago, months ago, out the airports, and then all of a sudden there's a big spike in TSA pre-check? It's the same thing. It's like you're forcing a chaotic situation, and then all of a sudden the government has the answer. Well, the government is not the only answer. You represent an alternative. So let's talk about the WorMed Retreat, for example. How do people find out about it? Is there a membership that you have to join in order to access the medical services?
No. The way people found out about us, like when we began, probably about, in 2003, the first several years, we got a lot of great press. You know, magazines, newspapers, they would contact us and want to follow patients abroad to report on their story. And that's how people began finding out about the idea and saw that there was a representative in the U.S., which was MedRetreat. Also, people searching online for affordable procedure, like a knee replacement or a hip replacement, and they would find our company that way. And then when they come to our website, you know, they can peruse the information. But it's a simple process. We, in the upper left-hand corner, we have, you know, getting started in three simple steps. And, of course, step number three is filling out an inquiry form, a basic inquiry form online. And then when we get those, they're contacted and briefly discuss their case. And to identify if they are truly a candidate for medical tourism or not. I don't like using the term medical tourism, but that was the term that was coined by the press back then. It was medical tourism, but of course it's not tourism. You know, you're not going on a vacation; you're going on a serious surgical procedure. So we do everything we can to educate the patient about that option and about how to do it safely, and then guide them. It's like a hand-holding process. Step by step, making sure that they understand everything that they need to do to prepare and have a safe procedure abroad, and then recuperate there for a certain time period, usually 1 to 2 weeks, and then return home safely.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the process in a nutshell. But, you know, we've been doing this since 2003, and we have a very fine-tuned process. And we've encountered, you know, cases that you can't even imagine, and have successfully facilitated those people to affordable surgeries.
You know, I was really very impressed with the fact that it's American-based. You guys vet all of the clinics, so it's not like you're just, you know, stateside hoping for the best. You've actually gone and done the legwork, met the physicians, toured the facilities, and there's a standard that that those facilities have to meet in order to be part of the clinics that are offered in your system.
Yeah, and that's very important. I mean, never at any time would we just find something online
mm-hmm.
and contact them and say, hey, we want to send patients to you. We have a very long process for that, and usually it takes about 6 months to a year where we'll make a couple of trips to the destination. We'll tour the hospital or facility, meet the CEOs, meet the surgeons, have conversations with them, and then get to know the surrounding area, find the hotels that are in safe places in close distance to the hospital, and really spend a great deal of time and understand it. So, and we can convey that when somebody's talking to us and they're considering going to some place like Malaysia, for example, mm-hmm. we can totally explain what they're going to encounter, what they can do while they're there, how they can be really safe and feel comfortable to move forward.
And is there are there corporations that also join, you know, or send their employees as part of services they offer, like Med Retreat, for example? So instead of them just having a standard cafeteria insurance plan, is that something that corporations should consider? You know, join as a corporate member and then have an access point to send their employees to health, you know, a cost-effective, efficient, quality healthcare delivery system.
Yeah, that's a great question. Corporations started really pursuing medical tourism about 3 to 4 years ago. Most of it to date has been domestic. So what corporations are doing is signing contracts with large specialty centers like Hopkins mm-hmm. or Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, and they're giving their employees options to go there. Now, when it comes to offshore, some businesses have negotiated and contacted hospitals directly and are allowing employees the options to do that. But to this point, they're not working with independent brokers like Med Retreat. Mm-hmm. They're going more the direct route. But in doing so, they're not offering options. In other words, they'll form a relationship with one hospital abroad, and that's the choice. You go there. Mm-hmm. But something, an important aspect to that is these companies that are doing that are offering incentive packages. In other words, they're paying for the flights and the hotels. They're mm-hmm. paying for a spouse or a partner to accompany mm-hmm. The patient. So I imagine that we're going to see a lot more of this as healthcare completely becomes unraveled here in the coming months and years. So I think definitely we're going to see more of it.
So walk me through, if I were to, you know, go to medtreat.com and put in a request for, a hip replacement, somebody would contact me, and then when I figured out what country I wanted to go to, is this all, again, like you just described, is it all inclusive? Does it include the airfare, where I'm staying, and the surgery until the time I leave? Or are there other pieces of payment that come into play as well?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And the way that works is, you know, we've gone out and we've identified everything that would need to be a part of your medical tourism experience. And we've formed a relationship, for example, with hotels in the vicinity, where our customers get discounts as a MedRetreat member, mm-hmm. But they would pay that independently when they're at the destination. They would pay the hospital, of course, when they're at the destination, and that would include, it would be bundled pricing. It would include everything that came with their care.
Okay.
And then they would buy the flight independently as well. But we provide a hand-holding process where every stage mm-hmm. we connect them to those players at the right time, because that's something that's very important in considering medical tourism. Is you really have to, there's a lot of logistics involved, and you don't want to make a mistake because that could throw everything off. So we try to arrange it so you arrive on day one, you go directly to the hospital and do pre-op consultation. Day two, first thing in the morning, you have your procedure. Then depending on how long the hospital wants you to stay and recuperate in the hospital, say 3, 4, 5 days, mm-hmm. on the last day, you check out and go to the hotel. Now, what's great about working with a company like MedRetreat is, and this happens quite frequently, let's say you're recuperating in the hospital and they say it's going to be 5 days. Well, by the third day, everything looks great and the doctor's really satisfied, everything's okay, you can go to the hotel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We can imagine if you're, you know, in a hospital bed in a foreign country and trying to figure out, oh, how do I get a hold of the hotel to make the changes? We check on our patients and the doctors during your stay, during your procedure, and we can make those changes for you. And it's just very seamless.
So it's a real turnkey experience. Let's take a break, Judd, and when we come back, let's talk about more of MedRetreat, as well as some of the things that we can do here in the United States. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Hey, before the break, Judd, we were talking about MedRetreat and people leaving the country, and my producer had a question. I actually had it as well. What services have patients used through MedRetreat? Do they cover, they go for cosmetic procedures? Is cancer care also some of the services that are offered?
Yes. Most of the, of course, the procedures are elective in nature.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, there was a lot of cosmetic and dentistry. So we've handled many of those cases, but around 2007, 2008 timeframe, we started getting an uptick in patients seeking a lot of different orthopedic procedures,
mm-hmm.
like hip and knee replacements, rotator cuff repair of the shoulder, a lot of spinal fusions and total disc replacements. So we've handled a lot of those cases. We've also handled heart bypass procedures. Cancer is one of those. It would be great to find a great option for that, but typically cancer is more of a long-term treatment plan.
Okay.
If somebody decides to do chemo, for example, they have to do many different sessions, and it's just not conducive to traveling back and forth to a foreign country to manage that.
Okay.
But if it is just, you know, a surgical procedure to remove a tumor or something like that, then a medical tourism would be an option.
Gotcha. And what are the most popular countries that people have gone to?
One of the most popular countries for us for quite some time was Malaysia. You'd be surprised to hear that. It's very far. It's about a 28-hour flight. Mm. But what we found was that, their healthcare there was, you know, really excellent. The procedures were very affordable, and they were very organized about the way that they worked, you know, with medical tourism facilitators and international patients. And then also, it's a former British colony, so people there spoke English very well,
mm-hmm.
And made it very easy for the patients when they got there. Is also the infrastructure was highly developed, easy to get around. So it's kind of a hidden gem. And we were surprised because we thought, a lot of press we got in the U.S. about medical tourism was India,
mm-hmm.
Thailand, or Costa Rica. But after we, facilitated a few patients, it just kind of picked up and more people started going there. But I would imagine there are some new hospitals that have been developed in the Virgin Islands and in the South or Central America,
mm-hmm.
that are going to become extremely popular in the coming years. And one that I'm really impressed with is Health City Cayman Island, which just opened its door about 2 years ago. And right now they do cardiac and orthopedic and cancer care.
Mm-hmm.
And I could talk for days about how great this hospital is. Maybe we can talk about that some other time.
Sure.
But they are really doing things right. And their whole goal is to show American hospitals how to do it right. And just to give it a little bit of an example, at the World Health Congress a few months back in Washington, D.C., one of the keynote speakers was a guy from the Health City Cayman Islands. And he was talking there about their bundle pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And their total goal was to be as affordable as possible, while at the same time doing things right and having the best possible outcomes, like really high quality. And keep in mind, this is a new hospital. So with their bundle pricing, what they do is they guarantee bundle pricing, meaning that everything is included for your surgical procedure. And then if anything goes wrong, there's any kind of infection or you need to be readmitted for any reason pertaining to that procedure, they eat that cost.
Mm.
In other words, you don't pay another cent. So if you think about it, that makes so much wonderful sense, because when they're in there, they're really focusing on doing things right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a mistake, they eat that. You know, it's not the patient. It's they have nothing, no more responsibility in that. So I just think that's really just a great idea. And of course, that would be something great if hospitals here in the U.S. also focused on, instead of potentially, you know, doctors wouldn't think this, but the administrators of a hospital would see a readmittance as another revenue stream.
Good point. That's real value-based medicine when it's all about the real outcome based on the doctor deciding that, not some administrator. They work at cross purposes when you really think about it. And the whole point of a hospital is to admit somebody. That's how they make their revenue. So I love that aspect of it. And I think my other question would be, do you have a version of MedRetreat in the United States for doctors that are independent, have independent surgery centers, who can keep the price low where the patient doesn't have to leave the country? Is that something that you have or are developing?
Absolutely. I've identified 9 hospitals and facilities here in the U.S. that are cash pay only. They don't take insurance, and these facilities are fantastic, and their prices are about 1/5 to 1/6 the cost of your normal community hospital.
Mm.
And I'm always surprised, you know, if somebody contacts MedRetreat and we just don't feel like it's right for them to go abroad for what they're seeking, that they can go to a hospital here in the U.S., and we'll give them an example, like the Surgical Center of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Is one of them. And when they identify, when they look, investigate on the website, they're blown away. And their question to us is, why is nobody, like, promoting this? And, you know, of course, we tell them, well, it's not a part of the agenda of our political class to, you know, give people affordable solutions, affordable options. This is all a political game about aggrandizement of power and money. So that's the way I see it, and that's why we've taken it upon ourselves to really point people in the right direction and show them that there's a lot of, and you know, there's a lot of free market options out there that are wonderful, that are working very well. But of course, the press never ever pointed people to those solutions.
You know, if they really wanted, honestly, to deal with the healthcare system, they would encourage what you just described. You know, the government wouldn't pay a dime for these things. The cost of healthcare wouldn't be so exorbitant. And actually, you would have a pressure put on all these institutions that are gouging the system to play ball, to have a competition that they actually have to make a better product. There is no competition. It's a total monopoly, or they tell you have choice, but it's all price rigged. You know, there is no real competition because they've been cut out. Either the government has closed them down, they've been bought out by the hospitals. It's not a system that has a real level playing field. And if this goes to pass where they have a public option, there'll be no pressure to drop the price, except for the government and their friends. So it's not going to get cheaper. You'll probably get less you will get less services, and you'll be made comfortable, and you'll get the very minimum medication that they can give you. And it will be just like the United Kingdom system. Their national health service has gone bankrupt. They have to have now private overseers to administer. And they've been rationing care for years. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. This is a system that has abundance within it. I can see, you know, foresee if this is allowed to mushroom, this will become the healthcare system in our country and worldwide if it's left alone. to do what it normally naturally wants to do. I mean, I know that I definitely have to have you back on the show to talk about Health City, but do you want to tell our listeners a little bit something about the movement, the Thrive movement? Because it's all about abundance. We just don't know what we don't know. And it's just, it's amazing, it's empowering. And I think that's where people know they would go to it.
I joined the Thrive Movement about a year ago. And you can go to it at thrivemovement.com. That's their website. And that's was founded by Forrest Gamble, who was the heir apparent to the Procter & Gamble family. And he was groomed to take over, be CEO one day. And he turned it all away because he saw too many great problems in society that are not getting solved. They just continue to be exacerbated. And his question was, which I found so fantastic, was, as biological systems, you know, all biology is here on this planet is supposed to thrive. You know, trees, all the animals, we're supposed to thrive and flourish. But why is it that mankind has so many problems and that are not being solved, and, you know, issues with, for example, depression and all the people that are being medicated today? What's going on? What's happening? And, of course, it's all a big game, and it's a game for power. You know, and they have a pyramid. They present a pyramid where the people are at the bottom of the pyramid, and we're beholden and answer to the government. Well, the government, they don't answer to the people like they're supposed to. They answer to large corporations, you know, all the lobbying, all the money that's in the system. And who do the corporations answer to? They answer to all the banks. That's where the money is maintained. And all the banks answer to the Federal Reserve, which, you know, the printing press can print money anytime. So it's all one big system of power, control, and it's all being manipulated among the people. And so our role as individuals is to find out what our gifts are, what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses, and how can we serve, how can we flourish and become what we're supposed to become. And if you bring this back down to healthcare, that's why it's so important. This issue is so important because we all need to care for our health, of course. We need to be healthy. We need to identify how to be healthy. But then we need the right path. You know, if there's an accident, if there's a problem, we need choice. We need to find out what's best for us. But again, we're falling into the trap of all these beautiful words, the languages that you spoke of earlier. And it's so true. I mean, they're wrapping a pig up in a blanket. or, you know, a beautiful dress, and we thought, oh, that sounds so good, all these great words like social justice and equality and all these great things. But in the meantime, they're just taking all the power and control themselves and all the money, and they're leaving us and dividing us into groups and classes based on race, religion, sexual orientation, and having us totally fight at the bottom. And look at the news headlines today, and we're totally falling into that trap. We have to break free from this some way, somehow, and start pursuing our individual path and thriving.
And Judd, on that note, I couldn't have said it better. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.